Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast, a product of the Globally Ballin podcast network. We have a fantastic interview for you today, so sit back and enjoy, and thank you all for joining us one more time. Here's the music. I gotta let you go. Finish the game with a broken hand.
Yeah, finish the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
Young man, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us as athletes were taught on it, use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, "Jay, get me out."
At the same time, there are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey, my last season.
Okay. Today's episode is with a former PBA, that's Philippines Basketball Association, player. Later, he became an import recruiter, trying to get imports from across the world, specifically usually the United States, to come play in the PBA, and now assistant coach for a team in the PBA, the Morelco Bolts, Chris Tan. Chris was a great get for the show because Chris ticks three big boxes. Our goal at Globally Ballin is to promote leagues, spotlight teams and opportunities, and tell player stories. And Chris has the ability to do all three very well because of his stages that he's gone through. He's been a player. He has stories as a player. He recruited imports to come play in the PBA, which is talking about opportunities, and it's promoting the league. And now, again, as an assistant coach, he has that same ability to continue that going. So Chris was a great get. And you'll hear from the interview, he's also just a great interviewee. He's fun to talk with, very open. One of the reasons I love bringing Chris in to talk PBA is in a lot of the other examples we've had in the past when we looked at basketball globally, you're looking at paychecks. It can range, obviously, we know that. But $5,000 a month isn't crazy, or somewhere in that area of $5,000. And those are some European country leagues, at least. We wouldn't consider that Euro ball, but those are European country leagues in European countries. But you'll hear the numbers that Chris is going to give of an average or even a high end, or what the max is, the import max is in PBA, and it's a lot higher than that. And so, you know, we're not talking about China, we're not talking about the Euro League, we're talking about basketball in the Philippines. And for some of you, that's a country you never thought of at all. And yet, if you scroll through some names of imports that have played there, you might be surprised at the names you recognized. I've mentioned before, I think it was the Kai Howard interview. I'm a big Michigan fan. I grew up in Michigan, live in Michigan. I'm a big Michigan fan. Manny Harris, former point guard from Michigan, was just over there playing. It did fairly well. I don't think the Nilex Road Warriors won, but he played pretty well. And so you'll see these names pop up that are familiar to you. That may not be the case in some of these other leagues, but when you're looking at the Philippines, you might see some of those familiar names. So that's fun. We're looking at a step higher when it comes to paycheck. Again, we're not talking China. In fact, Chris will address what China has over Philippines basketball, but a hint, part of it is money. We're not looking at Chinese paychecks. We're not looking at Euroball paychecks. But we are looking at higher than we have in the past, and that's Philippine paychecks. If you go way back to episodes like 1 and 2, we talked Wayne Chisholm and Ivan Johnson. Both of those two played and were imports in PBA and played in the Philippines. Since then, I'm trying to reflect back. We've done a lot of episodes. I think this is now the next one that's going to give us good detail on those opportunities. Keep in mind, Chris represents a team there, the Morocco Bolts. He spent his time there. He's going to try to pitch you as best he can to come play in the Philippines, and it's up to you to look through that and sift through that and decide, is that enough to make you want to go over there? This is a kind of league that's going to call you. And this is a league to shoot for. Again, I've said many times, I'm just trying to learn as much as I can, and I'm trying to pass my learning on to you. But as far as I've learned so far, this is a league to realistically shoot for. And the proof is in the returners. The people like Romeo Travis. If you know anything about basketball, a while back you might have heard the name. He was good at Akron. He also, though, was one of the starting five at St. Vincent St. Mary's with LeBron James. You have Justin Brownlee, who's a story for another time, who has been back to the Philippines. In fact, I think he lives there. Could be wrong. He always plays, and he seems like he always wins a championship. In fact, it seems like he's always winning a championship. We're going to talk about this with Chris against Chris's team, the Morocco Bolts, because of their continuing import, Alan Durham. So you continue to get in the Philippines these returning imports that are very talented and can go other places. And now, granted, they do, some of them still do when they're not playing in that set conference, and we'll break down conferences and everything too, and so you can understand what that means. But when they're not playing, yes, they might play in another country. But when they get that opportunity, or when their season rolls back around for them to play in the Philippines, a lot of these returners, if they can, do go back there. And that's a good sign for you as a player. When you see guys that are talented and getting calls all over the place still choosing to go back to the Philippines, that's a really, really good sign. And Chris is going to try to show that to you because he loves where he's at and he loves the league that he's with. And so he's going to do his very best to make you see why it's so good. So enjoy our interview with Chris Tan, former player, former import recruiter, and now assistant coach of the Morocco Bolts in the PBA in the Philippines. Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by an additional sponsor. We are now also brought to you by Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Louisville, Texas, right outside of Dallas. You may remember we've had an episode in the past with the founders of Creating Young Minds, Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to help young men achieve success in their life where they may not have otherwise achieved that success. One way they do this is through their new basketball team. The Louisville Yellow Jackets, affiliated with Creating Young Minds, play in TBL, the basketball league, and through a combination of their nonprofit as well as their basketball team, Creating Young Minds and the Louisville Yellow Jackets are doing their best to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. That is Creating Young Minds. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, basically everywhere. Find Creating Young Minds, check them out, see what they're all about. And when the TBL league rolls around, once again, keep an eye out for the Louisville Yellow Jackets. Thank you.
Hello, Chris. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Oh, hi.
All right. Cool. Let's start off with introducing yourself, who you are, and what you do.
My name's Christopher Tan, but I'm known as Chris Tan in the basketball world. I'm now an assistant coach for Morocco Bolts in the PBA.
Okay, and what was your past with the PBA? I know you had some other little other jobs that you had before that.
I played in the PBA for 5 years, 2000 to 2005 for Santa Lucia Realty. And after that, I started bringing imports for the PBA in 2007. I was able to bring in a couple of best imports, and I just stopped because I was offered this job in 2017. This is my third year.
Okay. So let's start with your first stage, which was you playing in the PBA. How have you seen the level of talent change in the PBA from when you were playing to now when you're coaching?
I think the biggest difference was then we had illegal defense. You couldn't play zone in the professional.
Really?
Actually, it just changed when we started bringing in professional players to play for the national team, the FIBA. That's why we adopted the zone defense in the professional. Same thing goes, I think, in the NBA. So before, you couldn't really help half-hearted. It's either you double or you stay with your man. So now, if you're the main guy, you can easily be quadruple team, or the whole team can just manage their defense based on you. Physicality, though, before it was more physical. The main line then, the PBA, was no blood, no call. No blood, no foul. Unlike nowadays, you know, before they used to allow the handshake, now you can't even touch, especially the superstars.
Really?
Yeah, and then the three-point line was not as far as the half court. Now yeah. You got people shooting all the way to the half court.
As far as the fans that would show up from when you used to play and the fans that show up now, was there a change? I know that the basketball culture in the Philippines is so strong. Has that changed, or has it always been kind of at that level?
I think the biggest thing is before, there was no social media, there was no internet. So if you want to watch basketball, you have to go to the arena.
Yeah.
Unlike now, before, the only option we had here was either you go to the arena or you listen to the radio, or you watch replay.
Okay.
Because then, well, when I say replay, it was in the earlier times, like in the 70s.
Okay.
70s and early 80s. But during the mid-80s to before the internet was invented, you'd watch two games on the TV. It's either TV, live, or radio. But now you can watch PBA or even NBA for that matter anywhere. So in terms of attendance, I think there's a big drop now here in the PBA.
Oh.
In terms of people going to the arena, except for big games, of course.
Interesting. Although that does make sense. So moving on, though, a lot of our listeners that we have are athletes here in the United States that play sports, maybe looking to play overseas. And you have had a very interesting role, something that we haven't had before, and that was actually trying to bring in these foreign players to the teams. What can you say about those opportunities that athletes were given to play basketball in the Philippines?
Well, most of the American players that come here to be, we call them imports, for to play for the different PBA teams. Most of them that come here are those guys who really don't make it to the NBA, or they go to the NBA but they're not really players. They're like minimum salary earners. And then also, again, the biggest difference there before was outside of America, the biggest opportunity in Asia was the Philippines. But now you got China, you got Japan, South Korea is there also. So now bringing in players here in the PBA, import players, is quite more difficult than before. Because one, we don't pay as much as China or South Korea or Japan. Japan's league is quite bigger than that of the Philippines, because they have like, I think they have 30 teams or something, and they play like 8-10 months. And like here, we only have 12, and we only use imports basically around 5 to 6 months of the year. In China, it's also 10 months. In Korea, I think it's somewhere between that also, 8 to 10 months, and they normally bring in 3 imports at the same time. So there's a huge opportunity now in Asia compared to that of before.
How would you rate the level of competition with the Philippines versus those other options in Asia?
I think we've come quite far from, let's say, in the 90s, because mainly the biggest addition to the Philippine market are the Phil Americans, the half-breeds. When they came in, it gave us more height, more talent, and the influx of these half-breeds, or the Philams, as we call it, gave us an opportunity to fight or to compete more against like that of China, who brings in 7-2, 7-4 players that are very agile. And the influx of the Philams and a lot of foreign coaches also here in the Philippines has given the coaches, the trainers, more opportunity in terms of seeing it more widely, unlike before, which was basing it on what you just watched TV. Same thing with internet, social media. There's a lot of coaches that share online, and you can pick up the training, how they train in the States or how they train elsewhere in the US. And it advanced actually what we have now, training capacity that we have now. So in terms of competing against Asian countries, I think we're still not at par, but I can say that there are times that, you know, like we beat South Korea in 2012, I think, when they came here for the, that's why we qualified for the FIBA Worlds.
As far as opportunities for imports, what were some of the things, at least when you were there, what you know now, that imports can expect to get from a contract agreement when playing in the PBA?
They're basically given everything, provided everything. Home, they normally stay in a hotel, in a high-end hotel or a condo. They're given a meal allowance aside from their salary. They get bonuses. They get treated really well. Like here in the Philippines, it's basically a laid-back America, because all the food that you have in the States is basically here. So in terms of changing the concept or what they're used to, there's not really that big of a change, compared to if you go to China, which normally nobody really speaks English. Unlike here, English is a second dialect in the Philippines. The services here, when like my imports, they normally say, we're not used to getting our nails clean in the States or going to the spa because it's expensive. Unlike here, it's not even close to how much you spend going to the spa in the States. And even our food is much cheaper than the food in the States. They get drivers also, they get their cars, they have a personal car that's assigned to them in the length of their stay here. It's a good opportunity for a lot of imports. Like, to give you an example, have you heard of Norman Black, Coach Norman Black?
Yes.
Okay. I have a surprise for you.
Okay.
He's actually my stepfather.
Is he really?
Yeah. He married my mom in 1994.
Okay.
When he came, yeah. So when he came here, he loved it so much, he married my mom and never left again. There's Bobby Parks. There's a lot of guys that came here, fell in love with the country, played maybe 7-8 years in the league. And like, I am sure you've heard of Ray Parks.
Oh yeah.
One of the players in the league. His father is the best friend of my dad. And actually my dad's the godfather of Ray Ray. So a lot of normally imports come here, especially American imports, they come here and they fall in love with the place, with everything. The things they can't do in the States, they can do here.
Yeah.
In terms of a lot of things, in terms of price, it's also connection.
So when I've been there a lot, and so I can't say that the first thing I do is get a massage, because it's like the prices doesn't even compare. It's ridiculous. As far as the food, though, I tell you what, we don't have spaghetti at McDonald's here, which always throws me off every time I go to the Philippines and see spaghetti on the menu.
You don't have spaghetti at McDonald's?
No.
I don't remember, because the last time I was in the States was 2012, and we were in New York, and we didn't go to McDonald's.
No spaghetti, no fried chicken, no rice.
Oh, really? So it's all sandwich, fries.
Sandwich, there's like chicken strips and stuff, but no like... Not like the fried chicken you would have.
It's like chicken fingers, right?
As far as, now we don't need like name specific or anything, but when we look at pay, what a player can expect, what's maybe a low end, a middle range, and a high end that an import can expect?
Well, if you're talking in the context of rules, okay, there's a salary cap supposedly for imports.
Okay.
And the salary cap is supposed to be $20,000 a month.
Okay.
But there are teams that pay below and pay over.
How do they? I don't know if you want to do that or talk about that, but how are they able to do that? How are they able to do go over the cap? You don't know. Okay. Yeah. And I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
How about this, though? On average, though, the imports that come in, and I know it's only two out of the three conferences, but out of the imports that come in, how many of them are reaching that cap? Not many or most of them?
Well, it depends actually on the teams.
Okay.
I'd probably say maybe two or three teams would pay under that.
Oh.
And then most of the teams would pay either same. Well, nothing is proven, right? It's all hearsay.
Yeah.
But most of the teams would pay, you know, whatever it takes. Like if you say 20, then it's 20. So if they go over, they go over. Because there are players that would come here that will surprise you and say, oh, he accepted 20,000. So, right? So just by that, you can actually see that, you know, they may be going over the salary cap.
I was looking through some of the imports. Now, I followed for quite a bit now, and there's some names that I'll always see, like a Justin Brownlee. Anybody who knows the league knows who that is because he is always there. Yeah. Romeo Travis rolls in everyone. Or what conference does he play in? Romeo Travis.
6-5.
Okay. Because he play and he, most people maybe not know who he is, but he played at St. Vincent St. Mary's with LeBron in high school. Manny Harris, I'm a huge Michigan fan, and you had Manny Harris there this past year.
Yeah.
And there's just some names that if you're from the U.S., you might recognize if you like sports. But they're not obviously the NBA stars or by any means. But there are definitely some names we're familiar with.
Like Terrence Jones? Sorry.
Yes.
You know Terrence Jones?
Yes, Terrence Jones is another one.
Yeah.
What do you think some of the hardest things are for imports coming to the Philippines? Maybe something they don't expect or something that doesn't go the way they had planned or any of that. What do you think the hardest thing is for them?
Honestly, I think it's just the weather. I mean, you especially if you come from the East Coast, it's kind of difficult to come here, let's say on a February or March, coming from the East Coast, then you come here, it's so hot, coming from a very cold weather. But aside from that, I've never heard any of my imports say they don't want to come back. Only if they had a bad experience with the team or the coach or some of their extracurriculars get them into trouble. But in terms of, like, every time I talk to my partners in the States, the agent, U.S. agent partners, whenever I say there's an open job here, I don't hear any of them tell me that a certain player is not interested to come here. It's like, I'm there, how much? We just have to fix the details and they're on the plane, they're here. So I've never really heard of any problem, like a serious problem that caused them to say no to the Philippines.
Do people know who these players, like to the fans, will they recognize them? Say one of the imports walking around the mall or whatever, are they gonna get recognized pretty quickly?
Yeah. They're actually superstars here.
Are they?
Yeah, that's the other thing. When you're in the States, you're basically a rotation player.
Yeah.
At best. Or you reached your peak in the NBA, then now you're playing abroad, and then you're here. Because we had, you know, Wes Matthews came here before. The old Wes Matthews, not the father. We had a lot of old NBA players that maybe they were in their 30s, like 32, 33, and they'd come here and play. Like, Mike came here. Mike Harris was 33 when he came here. And I was trying to bring him here for the longest time, but I couldn't compete with China. He was earning so much in China. So at the tail end of an American import, let's say if they reach their peak in the NBA, on the tail end of their playing years, that's when they come here. But mostly, out of the best place to find, for me, to find American players for here that are at their peak are those players that actually realize that the NBA is not for them. Or college players who just got off college and they got signed and they had that 1 year experience in the NBA and now they want to make money. That's basically the guys that really are successful here.
You mentioned, you know, without names or anything, sometimes their extracurriculars can get them in trouble while they're there. Is that more common than maybe we hear, or not so much?
No, what you hear is actually what happens. You know, nothing is kept here in the Philippines. If you did something wrong, one way or the other, it's coming out.
I do see sometimes, you know, they'll get the news of what imports are going where, and then out of nowhere, it'll say they're re-signing somebody new. Is that usually because they're just not meeting the level of performance that the team was expecting, so they're just going to drop them within a game or two?
It's actually two ways, because, well, nowadays, if you check, if you compare in the 90s and early 2000 and now, seldom that imports are sent home, simply because the information now is right in your computer. They send you videotapes, the stats are all there. There's even news of their behavior is there. Unlike before, when I was bringing imports in 2007 to 2015, they would mainly rely on me or the other agents that would bring them here. Because, like, well, I can only speak for myself. I will never bring an import that I have not seen play or that I know won't stay. But there are agents that would bring in imports just to get that first month. And if you send them home, they'll try to find someone again to replace him, and then they just want to earn that. Because every time you place an import, you get your 10% of the first month. So there are agents that are like that. So in my experience, for that 8 years, I think my import was only sent home once.
Wow.
And it's not because he wasn't good. It was because he was 6'3", playing against 6'10".
Oh.
That's why he was sent home. Because initially the plan was to keep him here for the 6'3", and then we developed the chemistry, then he plays on the 6'5" conference. But he was sent home, and that's the only one that that's the only import that was sent home on my part. And I was able to bring in, because most of my imports become resident imports.
Oh.
So if I bring in for a team, like I bring in this year for 6'5", normally that lasts for 3 to 4 years. So next year he comes back again, following year he comes back again. So I've been actually lucky in that sense.
Well, I don't know if you brought him in, but Morocco has Alan Durham come back, it seems like, every year.
Yes, actually, when I was working with Miralco, I was competing with them to bring Alan here.
Oh, really?
That's why when I worked with him, I reminded him. They said, yeah, Chris, I remember. Because I was making an offer, but he signed already with Miralco.
Oh, I see. But now you get to work with him.
Yes. And I mean, you know, you can't say anything about AD. He's professional, really good.
Yeah.
He's a 6'5 guy, but he plays like a 6'10.
Do you think it hurts the league at all ever that, and this is just going on a tangent a little bit, that it seems like, depending on the conference, you get the same two teams in the finals playing against each other? Like, I feel like we've had Justin Brownlee versus Alan Durham the last, like, 4 years.
Actually, three. Two, Skip, then this year.
Skipped 1 year, okay.
Yeah, we lost to Mike Harris last year.
Do you think that hurts at all, seeing the same teams in the finals for different conferences?
I think that's on the other teams now to bring in more competent imports. You know, because like for Meralco and San Miguel, for Meralco and Ginebra, we found a resident import. So now it's up to the other teams to step up in terms of bringing someone better than Justin, better than Allen. So if it's hurting the league, I don't think so, because right now the rivalry between Ginebra and Meralco is actually probably the biggest rivalry right now, but only in the third conference.
And then, well, let's go to the other ones. So the Philippine Cup, it's almost always San Miguel. Bierman are in the finals at least, right?
That's Junmar.
Yeah, because of Junmar. What about the second one? Is there commonalities between that one or not yet, really?
Because of Junmar too, the old Filipino.
Oh, that one for sure. The Philippine Cup is that one. What about the second one with the six? Was it six?
The second one is a 6'10".
And that's not Alan Durham, is it?
That's San Miguel.
Oh, that one is.
Brought in Chris McCullough.
Oh, okay. All right, and then the third one is the one with Alan Durham, and it seems like Alan Durham, Justin Brownlee.
Yeah, but I think the first two is mostly on Junmar. I mean, if you got 2 6'10" guys, one is an import, and one who plays like an import, that sets you apart for the other teams. Now, for the old Filipino, you have a 6'10" Junmar, so...
Yeah, I know that. I don't...
We can't find a 6'10 Filipino anywhere.
Kai Soto.
Kai is going to the NBA.
Is he really?
I think he would be the first... I think he would be the first legit chance that we can get a full-blooded Filipino in the NBA. Because we have Jordan Clarkson in there, right?
Yeah.
And I actually think we had one before. I'm just not sure. Is a Phil... I don't know if it's a Phil American or Filipino something, but there were talks before that we had the first Filipino in the NBA, I think in the 80s. I'm just not sure.
I'll have to look. I can add that to the episode, see if I find it. But that does lead me to a question. I wanted to know, you know, you look at somebody like Junmar who dominates Philippine basketball, how would he, do you think he'd realistically have any sort of a chance in the United States or not, if you were comparing the two levels of play?
Junmar now, healthy, I think would be a third big in NBA. Because Junmar then was kind of slow, and he didn't have a jumper from the outside. But from last year, when I think he took a couple of threes, and now he has a range game. If you put him in a team, let's say a Golden State, where it's a big Filipino market out in California, and now you have Steph, Clay, and those guys, you can actually stay out and spread the floor. I mean, I'm saying if you want to push a Filipino in the NBA.
Sure. If you really wanted to force it.
But I think, to be honest with you, you know Johnny Barrientos?
No.
Look him up. I think he would have been the first real Filipino chance to be in the NBA in the 90s.
Okay.
He's a point guard. They hear it before. But now I think Kai is legit. I mean, if you look at his body, 7'2", he's only 17. So the future is quite bright. I mean, he can be walking and saying, oh, that guy's going to be an NBA player. So please.
You're telling me Jumar's getting better? That doesn't even seem fair.
That's why I'm saying. Oh, but he's injured now. You heard he's injured, right?
No, I didn't hear that.
He's out for the year.
Oh no! What happened?
They said it's a broken shin.
Oh.
And they said the difference between Junmar's and Paul George. Paul George's was broken, right? So it was easy to put a metal things inside it. Junmar's supposedly crushed, so I don't know what's the difference.
That sounds worse.
That's why he received this MVP trophy in a motor wheelchair. Is there such a thing?
Yeah.
So he's out for the year.
So I want to, as far as the life of an import while they're in the Philippines, something that I've tried to, you know, and I watch and I try to keep up, but it gets confusing to me, these gaps in time that teams play. It seems like a team plays, you know, like 2 or 3 games simultaneously or really close together, and then I don't see them for like several days. Is that accurate or am I missing something?
Sometimes you could play 2 games a week, or sometimes you can play 3 because you have an out-of-town game. But normally it's 2. Then sometimes there's a week gap, then you play again. It's mostly because of the Gilas program.
Okay. Then that
because
makes
we
sense.
Have to rearrange the calendar just to fit in the Gilas program.
So during those spaces of time, I know it might not be that large. One thing the Philippines has above, in my opinion, many other countries is the things to see. places to visit, that kind of thing. Is it realistic for players to be able to do that, or is it not so much?
Yeah, they normally go to the beach. They normally go to Boracay. I'm sure you've heard of Boracay.
Yeah.
They go to Boracay. Now the new thing here is going to Siargao. It's a surfing capital.
Oh.
But yes, they, to be honest, they enjoy their time here. Food, the perks, being a celebrity, treated like a celebrity, places they can go. Because like Alan had to go home for a week because he just got his wife just gave birth. So he had to go home and come back. So it's really a good experience, to be honest, here in the Philippines. It's a good opportunity for them because there are times that there would be a player trying to make the league, the NBA, but they come here first and they get noticed here. Because here the ball is yours, right? So unlike in China, they don't, in other leagues it's more of you, because there are leagues in Asia that you get three imports, two can play at the same time. So their stats are not really that big. Unlike here, imports play about 35, 45 minutes a game.
Do you think, I feel like I know the answer, but do you think the fact that the Philippines in your conferences when you have an import and a team can only have one, does that add to that level of celebrityism that your imports get to experience because they're the only one on that team?
I think so, yeah. Because they're always on TV. Imagine if you're on TV, you play 40 minutes, you're on TV for at least an hour and a half. Because normally a game here would last an hour and a half to 2 hours. You get interviewed. Because normally you're the best player, so you get interviewed. So everything's there.
Let's switch gears a little bit. I did an episode, we might come back to what we were talking about, but I did an episode way back about the MPBL. What can you tell me from the perspective of the PBA about the MPBL?
I think it creates a lot of opportunity. That's number one. Because here in the Philippines, I think there's a lot of players that does not really get any opportunity because the PBA then was only 10 teams. We added the two teams, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. So now we have 12. So if you have 12, you have 15 players in each team, that's what, 180 players. And I think we have way, way more players here in the Philippines. So number one, I think that it's an opportunity for them. But recently, I think the PBA commissioner, I'm not sure if it came from the MPBL or the PBA, but the MPBL did not allow the rookies coming in this year to join their teams right away after the draft. What the MPBL did was they had to finish the conference first, because their conference, I think, finished this March, supposedly. So they wanted the players to finish their... they wanted the players there to finish their league first before they join us. So like for our two rookies, they just joined us last week. So I don't know if that's creating tension. And then the PBA came out with a rule that if you pass the PBA draft for 2 consecutive years, I don't know if it's 2 or 1, not sure, but you'll be banned. You won't be able to enter the PBA anymore. So I don't know if there's a rift coming up between the PBA and the MPBL, but it's incomparable because the PBA is professionally, the MPBL is considered amateur.
Okay.
So if you've heard of NBA before, the Metropolitan Basketball Association, have you heard of that?
Say that one more time.
If you've heard of the NBA before, it started in 1998. The Metropolitan Basketball Association.
Heard of it.
That was the first professional league that went against the MPBA, that went against the PBA. They were also professional. They were also labeled as professional. So right now, the MPBL and the PBA, I don't think it's really comparable because I don't think it's really comparable because one is amateur and one is professional.
Okay, and that makes sense. Okay. See if I needed to get to anything else. There were two things I wanted to talk to you about, not for the episode, but just briefly, and I guess I can do that now here. Well, actually, first, First, I'll ask, is there anything that you think we should add that we haven't talked about?
If you can get in touch with more films, because if this reaches a lot of people, for the Phil Americans or the Phil Canadians, or for as long as you have Filipino blood, why don't you, and you're into basketball, come here, come home, try your luck. You know, it's a good opportunity for a lot of half-breeds. There are some half-breeds in the States that are just playing pickup ball, right? But you'll never know, you can make it good here, because it will enhance the level of playoffs.
What's the salary cap for a non-import? So if it was somebody that was Phil, it'd just be a regular player. What's their salary cap? Air quotes, if there is one. Really? There's no rule about it?
No. Salary cap is, I think, $500,000, $1,000 pesos. So that's
$10,000.
Around $10,000 US.
Okay. All right. So something to keep in mind. That's the cap. Just to see what happens.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris, for taking your time. I appreciate having you on.
Thank you. Thank you for the time, for the opportunity to talk to all your viewers.
So a lot of things to dissect in that episode. Obviously, I'm not going to get to most of it. I won't get to, but there's a couple of things I wanted to touch on. First, I did a video call. Usually it's completely audio, and it's a video call. And so there's some things that I got to see that you didn't. One of which was when we were talking about the salary cap, he used air quotes and kind of chuckled about it. I think you can hear the chuckle pretty clearly, but he used air quotes saying that, yeah, there is a limit here, but you know, it's whatever. It's like when you look at soft salary caps in some leagues, that kind of thing. So that's something to keep in mind. And as a player, that may be something to keep in mind when it comes to negotiating. The other thing is, we were talking about differences. Like what's something a player can come to like and might find very different. We were talking about that. Now, if you've been a fan of the show and if you've listened to all these episodes, you'll notice something. We do a lot of American athletes, but it seems as though the first time we go overseas, we go to the Philippines. Now, I don't do that because the Philippines is by far the second best option. That's not true at all. It just happens as though the connections that we as a company have, the second is far and away the Philippines. So when it fits and when it's helpful, that's where we reach out to. That being said, those won't be the only ones, so keep that in mind. But one of the other reasons we do that is I have quite a strong connection with the country in general, and so I can speak to a lot of those differences and similarities he was talking with. I say that because it was fun talking to him about McDonald's. My wife has told me the exact same story. My wife is from the Philippines, and she tells a similar story about when she first came over here long term, and she went to McDonald's, and she went up and ordered spaghetti. And they looked at her like, what are you talking about? She said, spaghetti. And then she looked up at the menu longer and realized there's no spaghetti. There's no fried chicken strips, but not chicken strips, fried chicken, or rice. Three big ones that you'd find in the Philippines. And I think Chris mentioned that under things you'll find familiar. They have McDonald's. Yes, they have McDonald's. I just say that because even some things that you see as a similarity, once you get there, you realize are a little bit different. That being said, you as an athlete playing over there have a much different, busier life than when I have ever been over there. But I wanted to mention that. It's a kind of a fun story. His note about speaking English is big, very true. It's taught in schools. English is focused on in schools. And so anyone who has been through school and worked hard or semi-hard at school can speak English and talks English with you, although they do have their own native language they'll talk. One of the hardest things can be the weather, I think he mentioned. It can be extremely hot, and when you're playing a sport like basketball, really when you're playing any sport, and you are putting forth a lot of energy and sweating and getting fatigued, that can be difficult. But all in all,
great fun place to be. And he mentioned this is evident in this, in the fact that players continue to come back. I mentioned some players in the beginning. Alan Durham keeps coming back. It seems like playing for Morocco. Justin Brownlee continues to come back and play for Ginebra. And Romeo Travis keeps coming back and playing for Magnolia Hotshots. And I'm sure I'm missing a couple others. Some big ones, I'm sure. But the fact is, you continue to bring people in, and that's always a good sign when you're looking at a league. You look at the money, and then you say, well, is there something we're missing? Is there something hidden? Am I missing something? Is there some secret danger about playing there that nobody's telling me? Well, could be. But the fact that you continue to get the same people back suggests not. It suggests that there isn't much hiding. There isn't a trap waiting for you. You're getting a good deal, and you're going to a place you should want to go because these talented individuals, these Justin Brownlees, these Romeo Travises, these Alan Durhams, continue to come back and choose to play in the Philippines. They might play in a different country in between these different conferences, or maybe during the Philippine conference or whatever. Maybe they're playing somewhere else, but they come back if they can to the Philippines. That should be a green light for you to look out for an option. I say that in any situation. If you look at any league around the world, and it doesn't have to be basketball, and you continue to see the same people sticking around, that should be a clue to you. Now, granted, you'll want to judge if they're talented enough to go other places, but assuming they are, if they continue to stay in that place, that should be a green light to you that, hey, this is probably a league to look into, and the numbers suggest that the people that continue to come back and play for the Philippines, championship caliber players, by the way, like I mentioned, Justin Brownlee and Alan Durham continue to face each other off in the finals, meaning that they are talented individuals. They could play other places. The fact that they continue to come back and continue to play in the Philippines should suggest to you that the Philippines is an option for you to keep in mind, not to mention the much higher paycheck than we have seen. Now, not the highest paycheck in general, but the highest paycheck that we have really seen through the majority of our episodes in the past. All right, that's enough of me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following the podcast. Thank you again to our guest, Chris Tan. And stay healthy, stay safe out there, and you'll hear from us again next week. Thank you all for making it through another episode. A couple things I got a quick run through and then we'll be done. First, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on our different key platforms. First, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin. Also, Instagram, at globallyballinofficial, and then Twitter, at globallyballin. The Instagram and Twitter are by far our most active, and they're also very different content. They're actually run by different people. So go ahead and make sure you're following both of those, and they'll also both alert you for when something new is posted either in the podcast or Patreon, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. Also, when it comes to the Facebook account seems less active, and we're aware of that. It's different kind of content and more is coming to the Facebook page, so you'll want to like it to make sure you're ready when a new wave of different content, which is coming soon, starts to make its way on there, which is exciting. Finally though is the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com and then you search Globally Ballin, you're going to find our account. $3 a month, and with that you're going to get a couple of things. First, shout out to all the supporters, which is great, which is actually also really good for any of you athletes out there. It's a great way to get your name, your brand, your place where people can find your highlight tapes, all that stuff. That'll be plugged in our episodes, which is great. So if you become a patron for the $3 a month, you'll get that. In addition, though, what we're really kind of excited about, not that we're not excited about the other one, is that you're going to get a bunch of extra content. It's going to be different from when I originally recorded this to when you're listening to this now. We're going to keep adding to it. There's a lot of different stuff. It might just be extra stuff that didn't fit into an episode. And there's also a whole new different kind of content called Candid Conversations, which is basically a whole new show that we started. As the name suggests, it's a conversation between me and somebody else. For whatever reason, it doesn't fit into an episode. And if you go check out one of those Candid Conversations, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So that $3 a month, you're going to get your shout out and your help to support your brand or get attention to your highlight reel or whatever, plus a lot of extra detailed fun content in addition to this free podcast. So go and check that out. Refresher, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram @globallyballinofficial,
Twitter at Globally Ballin, and Patreon, patreon.com/, search Globally Ballin, and you'll find, do the $3 a month patron if you're interested and get all new content, a bunch of additional content. If that's not for you, totally fine. We still really appreciate you supporting and listening. If you have any suggestions, make sure you send us a message. Again, because we're most active on Instagram and Twitter, that's the best way to send us a suggestion. We'd be happy to listen and try to get anybody in that area and that sport, that country, that topic that'll help you best. So make sure you send us one of those requests. Otherwise, thank you again for listening. You'll hear from us again next week.